The sermon this morning comes from Matthew chapter 13. Please turn with me there. Matthew chapter 13, this is an area that's called a parable, as Jesus talks. And a parable is a story about something physical that reveals a spiritual truth. So Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God to a series of things in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to focus on verses 31 and 32 now. Hear what God says. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we rejoice in you and we rejoice in your word. As we come now, a bit weary from the week behind us, we ask now that you would revive us and that you would make us alert. Father, help us and give us good understanding so that we will see and know who you are more, and that we will understand you more, so that you will indeed be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, I was in charge of a youth group, and there was this young man, and people brought him to me to wrestle him. Every now and then, when people find out I'm a wrestler, and if they see me in action a couple times, they'll get somebody tough together, and they'll bring them to me so they still see what happens. And they brought a young man to me, and as I faced him, he was younger than me, and I thought, I'll just take it easy, and I'll just see how this pans out. And I stepped in, and he moved in with this amateur move, but with all the strength that he could muster, and he hurled me over his shoulder through the air, slammed me down on the ground, and he locked my arms up against my head, and I was pinned, and I realized instantly, I am utterly undone, and I have been made a fool by this little boy. As we look, and as we look at the kingdom of God, and as we can consider the kingdom of God, and we consider the way that God works and moves, we can look around at this world, and look around at the churches, and look around at what's going on, and we can think we're not looking at much, really. As we look at our nation, we can look at it, and we can think of the way the church is working and moving in the nation, and as we would long to see righteousness in the highest places, we can think, church really isn't accomplishing much. The kingdom of God really isn't doing much of anything. As we look at Europe and see it crumbling and falling apart, and see morality crumbling and falling apart, we can look and think, what is this? The kingdom of God is going to grow and fill the earth, and yet we see this weakness. We see this failing continuously. Even boil it down to our own personal lives as we look and see that righteousness is supposed to grow in us and we are supposed to shine forth. Our congregation is supposed to be a light on the hill. And we would long to see converts coming into the church from the community. We look and we see who comes. But as we look here, and as we can be discouraged, as we can look at our own weaknesses, our own failures, we can look at as we fail to see righteousness shining in our nation, righteousness failing to shine across the planet, we can also think of how the Jews would be looking at their time, as they were supposed to be this great chosen people. The people that the whole world was going to be blessed through. And yet they are oppressed, they are afflicted, they are small, they're beat down, they're downcast with no power whatsoever. Then Jesus comes and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds." He's talking about the kingdom being small. About it looking insignificant, as you may see it appearing in your own life sometimes, appearing insignificant, see it in our own community, appearing insignificant, seeing it in our nation, appearing insignificant, seeing it in the world, appearing insignificant. He says, but when it is full grown, it is larger then the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. This is a picture of the kingdom coming, growing, filling everything. Though the kingdom looks small, though the kingdom appears to be insignificant, in your heart, your life, your family, your church, your community, your nation, your planet, though it looks like this tiny thing that is nothing, it is going to grow and fill everything. This is where we must put our hearts and our minds, knowing that this is the reality, regardless of what it looks like. Regardless of the failings we see in our hearts, in our church, in our community, in our nation, in the planet, Christ said, it looks like a mustard seed. It looks small. It looks insignificant. But when it grows, when it grows, it will fill everything. You see, and we must have this mindset. We must have this mindset. We are not something small and insignificant, though we are small at the moment. The kingdom of God will be most significant. The kingdom of God will indeed be the structure in which everything else must find its place, or it will be undone. So, children of the Most High, sons and daughters of this kingdom that will indeed fill the earth, give your heart to seeing this kingdom come. Give your heart to seeing this kingdom go forth and filling the entire earth. Now, as we focus on giving our lives to this growth of Christ's kingdom, first we must look at a parable and see it for what it is. So the first call in this step is, as you read a parable, focus on the one true meaning. I have seen so much violence done to Scripture from so many pulpits. And one of the worst places that we see this is as they try to preach parables. They go and they'll look at a parable and they'll grab every nook and every cranny out of it, and they'll make an analogy out of it and make whole sermons based on these little things where they're really just missing the entire point. The kind of thing that is done is they'll take things literal where they're not supposed to be literal. There's a number of literalists in my family. Anything that you say, they'll just, instead of embracing the meaning of it, they will take the exact meaning of each word and just bend you and twist you the wrong way. I do that too. Right? Shamefully, it's fun to annoy people sometimes. But people will do this with the parables. They'll take it and twist it and bend it. They'll go through. For example, they might look and say, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And they'll say, mustard. Mustard's tangy. We've got to be a tangy people. And they'll jump up and down and they'll shout, and people will say, hey, man, we've got to be a tangy people. But as we look, Christ brings it and he pulls it all back and he says, no, look. What I'm saying here is the kingdom of God is going to fill this world. We look small. We look insignificant. But we're going to be something great and something amazing. So we must be cautious to really look at what Jesus is saying here. You must be cautious to look at what he's really saying everywhere, to grab the meaning of what he's saying and not to do violence to the text, as many people will indeed do. You must be careful. Some of you are in places where you're going to be choosing churches. When I was in seminary, one of the professors was talking about how we work with our congregations and how we move and how we relate to people. And he said, people aren't going to look around and find the church that they think is closest to the Bible and just go there. And I looked at my buddy, Rut Etheridge. I said, well, that's what I did. And he said, shrugged and said, me too. Now, and that's what it should be. That's what it should be, the church that you go to. You should be looking and making sure what God really says is really being proclaimed. Clinging to the true meaning of Scripture. What else do you have? What other anchor do you have? What other sword will you wield other than the Word of God? Stick closely. stick closely to what the Word of God says and strive to understand what He truly means and what He says. Now, as we consider this reality that the kingdom of God is going to grow, there's a certain call for the servants of God to take action. But as we do that, how do we do that? How do we take action? How do we know exactly what to do? Well, we've been given this great example. Christ is not just an example, but as you look through the books of the New Testament, He certainly is an example as well as our Savior and our Lord. So we must conform our minds and think of Christ as the ruler of this kingdom. See Christ as the ruler of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 31, we are given this picture of the kingdom. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field." As you think of a kingdom, and this is not an analogy, the kingdom of God is a real thing. It has a real ruler. It has real servants. It has a real army. And it has a real agenda, which is to see Christ glorified in the entire earth. As we see, He will indeed be glorified in the entire earth. Luke 1:32-33 says, "He will be great," talking about Christ, "He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And His kingdom will have no end." Look at Christ and see Him as the ruler of this kingdom. Nothing else and no one else. No papacy will be ruler of this kingdom. No bishops will be ruler of this kingdom. But the kingdom indeed has one king and one head. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this proclaimed in Psalm 2, verses 2 through 9. "The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed." That word anointed, the Hebrew is Messiah. It's Messiah. They take their stand against the Messiah. The Greek is Christ. They take their stand against Christ. The nations of the world take their stand against Christ. They take their stand saying, "Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs." As my old friend the zealot used to say, when God laughs, it ain't funny. "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury, saying, 'But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware.'" Christ, the King, to which every ruler, every nation will indeed bow. Christ, when He walked the earth and He started His ministry, He said, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And the resurrected Christ said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." See, this is who we serve. This is who we follow. This is the ruler of the kingdom of heaven that has come to the earth. And indeed is spreading. I will point out again, as I feel a need to so often, that as you look around here in our own midst, we see the kingdom of heaven spreading. One person here, any one individual that we would bring up and stand here, we could point to this person and say, "This is the kingdom of heaven spreading." This is someone who was a child of hell and brought to the kingdom of light. This is an addition to the kingdom of heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven spreading. As we look around and look at one another, we can say, the kingdom of heaven is advancing. The kingdom of heaven is indeed moving forth with power, as what we could never do is indeed being done. Hearts are being changed. people who were once villains are now sons and daughters of the Most High. This is the work of Christ. This is the kingdom of heaven advancing. And Christ is the ruler who accomplishes this by His Spirit and by the testimony that He has given you. Christ builds His kingdom as the ruler of it. But how? How do we deal with this, and how do we deal with our discouragements? Look with me again at verse 32. And this is smaller than all the other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come nest in its branches. This is the promise that the kingdom will indeed grow. So I call upon you, do not be discouraged, though we are now small. As we look and we've seen our congregation grow, we've seen our congregation at least double, we can still be discouraged as we would look and as we would long to see some of the 273 souls that live in Eastvale come. As we look and we consider the number of people who are actually in worship this morning as opposed to the number of people who aren't. You know, worship is a good picture of the kingdom of God. It is a picture of the kingdom of God. It's where God has drawn His sword and He's made a line in the sand and said, if you're mine, come over here. Come assemble with me. And we look and we see how small in the nation our assembly is. And we can be very discouraged. But the beauty is, as you look at your own life, though you have your pitfalls, though you have your discouragements, though you stumble and you fall into your puddles again and again, you are lifted up and you are carried forward. We do see Christ working a heart at a time. If you're discouraged with your sin, Christ is working on you. Be encouraged. As sins are thrown off, be encouraged as we see Christ working heart by heart and then even family by family. I have seen households rescued. I have seen places where there were no believers, and now there are 5 believers or 6 believers in one household. The kingdom will indeed advance. We see that Christ will indeed work nation by nation, that nations will come to Christ, as we see the amazing things that Christ is doing in the Sudan. If you've seen the videos have been amazing as people are being baptized. And then they march from their, march to little village and hut by hut, and they bring out their idols and they burn them and they sing psalms as they burn their idols. Stuff that I've never seen. As we receive word in China that there are hundreds of thousands of Reformed believers in China now. The kingdom is indeed advancing. Are you small? Are you like a mustard seed that you can't hardly see it? Good. Because you will grow. You will grow into something beautiful and amazing, something enormous. We see this same language of the tree and the branches in Ezekiel 31:6, and it was talking about Assyria there. It says, all the birds of the heavens nested in its boughs, and under its branches all the beasts of the fields gave birth, and all great nations lived under its shade. So Jesus is saying, look, He's using this language of this tree and birds coming and living and being in this tree and animals coming. He's saying, using this language, and they would have recognized, they talked like that about in Ezekiel when Assyria was there. And He said, all the nations will come to it. Jesus is saying, look, back then there were these great nations. And these great nations were it. And everybody had to come to them. He's saying, but though we are small, though these nations have been big and enormous, this kingdom is going to grow to be bigger than all of them. Though we are small and weak, we will grow to be bigger than all of them. And this idea that the birds nest in the branches, this is the nations coming to Christ, as we sing about week after week in the Psalms, this will be the reality. So Jesus is saying other nations have been great, but now this tiny seed will be greater than all of them. We must conform our thinking to this reality, and we must be encouraged and have confidence that the kingdom will indeed encompass everything. And I love this picture and this idea that the branches are a structure. that everything must have its place in, or will indeed be undone. For many of us, this has not been the reality of our thinking. We just think of ourselves as a mustard seed. We think of ourselves as small and insignificant. Do you wake up in the morning and think, I'm a part of a kingdom that's going to take over the world? That's the reality of who you are. A part of a kingdom that will indeed take over the world. Now this knowledge should inspire you. Again, verse 32, and this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants, and it becomes a tree. Call upon you to march forward in the light of the promised growth. The beauty of this is, I've told you this before. One time my father-in-law and I were carrying a couch, and we lifted it out of the back of a truck, and we were carrying it into the house, and one of my sons, I think he was like 3 at the time, or 4 at the time, as we were carrying this couch, he ran over and he put his hands on it. And he was walking under us with his hands on the bottom of the couch, and he was just happy as could be to be helping Dad out and Pap out as we were carrying this big couch. You know, advancing the kingdom is a bit like that. We're just these little kids that come along and get to put our hands on it. And we get to rejoice that we're helping Dad out. But the Father accomplishes it. Put your hands on the couch. Put your hands on the couch. Get out there and proclaim the word. Confidently march forward. Because the kingdom's coming, with or without you. Get on board. Rejoice in who you are. Rejoice in what you get to do. A number of times I let my children push my car into the garage. Over here, and I'd pull up, and I'd say, you want to push the car? And they'd say, yeah, and they'd get in the back, and I would just lightly put my foot on the gas, and my little boys would push the car into the garage. Sorry, guys. But Christ accomplishes these things. He does the work, but we must push forward. And so much of this is choosing the sides you're on. You know, do you get up and you go forth and you live like a gatherer? Christ said, he who does not gather scatters. You are constantly living a testimony. You are living in such a way that you demonstrate that the gospel is important to you. Or you constantly demonstrate that the gospel is not important to you. Simple silence demonstrates that the gospel is not important to you. That the kingdom is not important to you. Christ draws his line in the sand. He says, I'm your captain or I'm not. If I'm your captain, you love me. If I'm your captain, you will follow me. If I'm your captain, you will proclaim me and you will gather. So choose. Choose your captain. Choose your kingdom. There are but two. Kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of silence is the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom that proclaims the gospel and the good news is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ. But what do we see as we look around us? We see failings and we see shortcomings. And you have to make certain that you are indeed a part of this kingdom. Before you have any place in proclaiming it, before you have any place in announcing it. So I call upon you to rely on Christ as your entrance to the kingdom. In John 3, verses 3 through 5, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This idea of being born again, are you born again? Are you born again? If you say, I don't know, you need to talk to me or talk to the elders and find out, are you born again? Because without that, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Without that, you will indeed suffer the punishment that you deserve for all eternity. You see, Christ is the only entrance to the kingdom of heaven. Reliance on Jesus Christ is the only entrance to the kingdom of heaven. There are, in times I've done some rock climbing and mountain climbing, and there's different routes that you can take climbing these rocks, and sometimes you would stand back with your buddy and say, hey, there's a foothold over here, and there's a handhold over here, and he works, and he goes along, and you have to go on certain routes in different places. Scripture here tells us there is one route. There is one way to ascend the mountain of the Lord. There is one way to enter the kingdom of God. That is to rely on Christ and His righteousness. That means you know that you are a sinner. You know that you commit crimes against God. You know that you can never make it right. And you trust that Christ died to pay for your crimes and gives you His righteousness. The cross, that bloody death, was the picture of God's wrath poured out on Christ on behalf of everyone who will trust Him. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. But God's wrath abides on you. Do you want to see the kingdom come? Do you want to see the kingdom come? Not without Christ, you don't. Not without relying on the righteousness of Christ, you don't. Because the kingdom will come with power. And Christ is the rock under which everyone will be crushed who does not rely on Him. Whose lives are not built on Him. Look for Christ as the entrance. We rely on Him to enter, and we rely on Him continuously. Because your righteousness will never be enough. Rely on Christ. So from here, now what? From here, I call upon you to take your part in the growth of the kingdom. Romans 10:13-17. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring news of good tidings or good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. This was the passage that I read when I felt the calling to be a pastor. I had recently been saved. I was sitting with my pastor, and I was reading the scripture, and he got up, and he'd walked out of the room to take care of something, and I read, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And this next line, when I read it, it was as if God spoke it. And the words were burned onto my heart in that moment. And how will they hear without a preacher? Now this word preacher, it's almost an unfortunate translation of the word, because you hear preacher and you think pulpit. You think of a guy in a tie. Well, this isn't just that. This is any proclaimer. This is anyone announcing the good news. This is how will they hear without you telling them is what this is saying. How will the kingdom of God come without people announcing it? Without people announcing the good news? This picture here of how, where it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. This idea of somebody bringing good news, think of it in terms of this. You're in a city. And there is a war coming towards your city. And some of your people have gone out to fight in this war. And on the other side of this hill, you hear battle raging. And you don't know what's happening. You don't know what's going to happen. Is this army going to come in and destroy your city? That means, are they going to take you and kill you or make you a slave? Are they going to take your wife or your husband and make them a slave? Are your children going to be made slaves? Are they all going to be destroyed and killed a violent death? And as they're waiting for that, people are on the wall of the city watching and waiting for someone to come and bring news. And then as they wait, as the sound of the war rages, as you are terrified that you and your children or you and your parents will be destroyed, someone comes running over the hill. He shouts, "Good news. Good news. We are rescued." You see, the reality of this world is there is a war raging. God's curse, God's wrath and hatred for sin looms over people who aren't embracing Christ. And you are the ones who are supposed to run out and say, "Good news. Good news. You can be rescued if you will but trust in Christ." And from this place, as you proclaim good news, as you announce good news, and as God has done the work in Christ, as the work has been done, that God's wrath has been satisfied for everyone who will call on the name of the Lord, as you announce the good news, as the Holy Spirit does the work in people's hearts, and God gives them a new heart, as you have proclaimed, this mustard seed grows. And it becomes a tree. And it spreads. And it fills the earth. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered together in its branches as you proclaim good news. As you announce good news. So though you may be discouraged, though you may be disappointed, though you may be beaten up and weak, there is a kingdom coming by the power of Christ. But proclaimed by you. As you announce Christ, as you announce good news. So the call for you this morning is for you to give your lives to announcing Christ, to see this kingdom advanced and Christ glorified in the whole earth. Pray with me. Our great and powerful God, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for the great salvation that you have already accomplished for a kingdom that will fill the earth. Now God, move in us to make us the people to be who we are called to be. That as you have drawn that line in the sand with your drawn sword, that we will come across. That we will not be those who scatter with our silence, or that we will be those who gather by proclaiming good news in your Son. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.